The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Shalom, Rolene. How are you?
Indeed. And wow, what a way to start today's show off, because I have some breaking news with regards to our top story. Very, very interesting breaking news.
Tell us.
Yes.
Like, what are you waiting for?
I can't break it.
Don't break anything.
So we do have it now confirmed. Okay, so basically, to put everybody in the picture, Netanyahu is the only head of state to join 60 other countries at the Warsaw Summit in, where else but Warsaw. And this is to discuss the Middle East region, in particular Iran and the Iranian threat. Now, rumor has had it that perhaps Netanyahu was going to use this occasion to kind of flaunt growing ties between Israel and Gulf states. And no sooner had we joined you on Chai FM, then news was broken that he had a very, very good meeting with the Omani foreign minister, Yusuf bin Alawi, and they have released a little bit of friendly footage of the two of them talking. So they have confirmed that Israel and Oman are now on friendlier ties, and Netanyahu tells bin Alawi that the recent dialogue or rapprochement between the two countries is changing the world, and he says, I have to tell you that the courageous decision of Sultan Qaboos to invite me to Oman is changing the world. He says it's pointing the way for many others to do what you said, not to be stuck in the past, but to seize the future. And the Omani foreign minister agreed that the two countries' newfound friendship is an important new vision for the future. So this is quite extraordinary, because we've been speaking in the recent weeks about Netanyahu's visits to Africa and growing relations or bilateral ties between Israel and Muslim majority countries on the African continent. And, you know, talking to people who've served in the diplomatic corps in Africa, they say that most countries, bar one, I wonder which one that could possibly be, see the story of the Jewish people and Israel as almost mirroring their own. And they're not interested in being partisan. They see that they can be friends with both Israelis and Palestinians, but that Israel has something tremendous to give to the continent. And perhaps this is what the Gulf states are seeing, that ties with Israel only strengthen the region. And we can see the axes forming against the looming threat of Iran. Iran, of course, not at the conference, neither is Russia, neither is the EU's Federica Mogherini, but 60 other countries are in Warsaw to discuss ways that we can counter Iran. It is sponsored by the US and by Poland, and if we're hoping to hear about Trump's greatest deal of all time, his peace deal in the Middle East, I think, guys, we're going to have to wait a little longer.
Rolene, that's really interesting on a couple of levels. The first one is that there was a report in the Times of Israel today about the fact that this whole conference wasn't turning out quite to be what it was expected to be, in terms of the fact that they weren't pushing the Iran line at all. Is that, have you read that? Have you seen that story?
I haven't seen that, but I do know that from Israel's side, we're pushing the Iranian line very, very heavily, and you can see it on social media. You can see the Israeli foreign ministry going on their offensive, and you can follow their campaigns. They've got their campaigns calling against complacency when it comes to dealing with Iran, and you can see they've been putting out quite a campaign there, exposing Iran's intentions, exposing the fact that Iran has all of Europe within their sights from a nuclear perspective, and exposing Iran's gross human rights violations. And this comes 2 days after Iran celebrated the anniversary of its 40-year-old revolution, and did this by threatening to wipe out Tel Aviv. Yeah. And we heard from Netanyahu, who said that if you continue with that kind of language, it will be the last anniversary you ever celebrate.
So the second issue that I wanted to raise with you about this whole issue was, to what extent is this Netanyahu electioneering? because I'm wondering how much has actually changed. You know, Saudi Arabia is no closer to putting an ambassador in Tel Aviv. So what has Israel achieved? We've got Chad on board, and who else?
We've got Chad on board. We've got rumors of conversations with Mali. Mali also a very big Muslim-majority country in Africa. We've got renewed ties with countries like Guinea and Togo. We've got increased cooperation. We've got the marked warming of ties between Israel and the Gulf states. You know, we cannot detract from Netanyahu's charisma and his charm offensive when he does go out to represent Israel. In fact, that is a large factor that gets him voted in again and again. And, you know, it sounds like something trivial, but it is something that Israelis really do take to heart, as well as his ability to speak at the United Nations. You know, when you sit around the Shabbat table or the coffee shops and people are talking about Netanyahu and elections and how do we vote, more often than not, you're going to hear people saying, but will Gantz or Lapid or Gabay, would they be able to speak like Bibi speaks for us at the United Nations? Yeah. So a whole load of vectors in place when it comes to the elections. But we cannot forget that we are in an election period. We can't forget about the fact that we do have possible charges going to be filed against Netanyahu, which could impact his election campaign as well.
Okay. Tell us about Salah being targeted for the Juventus move. Oh, wait a minute. That's Louis Karpis. That's not you.
Don't make me panic.
We like to do that, really. Not make you panic. But
just make sure you're still awake.
Yeah, throw your curveball. Make sure you're paying attention.
Here's one.
That's sports.
Here's
you
one.
Know sports for me is like running around in flat shoes. Gosh.
Just testing you're still awake. Hamas and Hania ready to meet with Abbas?
Yeah, so rumor has it that Hamas is ready to meet with Abbas. Whether this happens, I don't think I would, you know, bet the house on it. But Hamas's political chief, Ismail Haniyeh, said today that he is ready to meet the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. And he says, I'm ready to meet with Abbas in Cairo sooner or rather than later, or for Abbas to come to Gaza, which is part of his homeland, which is quite interesting because one of the issues that they have is they're fighting over who controls Gaza. You know, whether we like it or not, Hamas is the elected entity to run the Gaza Strip. And as we've spoken about in recent months, the Palestinian Authority, who have Fatah as their main faction, they want to retake control of the Gaza Strip. And there's been an escalation of tension. In fact, relations between the two factions are at an all-time low. And the most recent tit for tat is that the Palestinian Authority workers were reportedly denied entry into Gaza via the Kerem Shalom crossing point because they were subjected to tougher or to new security measures. And Fatah, in response to that, removed their personnel from the Rafah crossing into Egypt. They said Hamas interfered with that. And last month, the Palestinian Legislative Council in Gaza voted to remove Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas from power because you know he's in his 15th year of his fourth term, but I don't think it's going to be a case of kumbaya and let's braid each other's hair. I don't think they're going to meet soon, but you know, we will have to wait and see whether Abbas says, you know what, I'm prepared to meet Haniyeh.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. That's where we leave it today, Rolene. Thank you so much, and we look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
I will speak to you tomorrow and sport. I mean, it's just
cheers, Rolene.